So today's speaker is Har Grace Sukh Sagri Mataji from Houston. She is a disciple of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. She needs no introduction as Mataji has been giving classes on this call since 2013. But after a long break, we are very grateful to her that she has given us time to speak on Chaitanya Charitamrita to enlighten us. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. So now, Mataji, you can take over the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I think it's the other way around. I actually benefit from your association, from all of your association. And perhaps I have been too much, you know, in Maya for too long. And just by the mercy of the organizers, you know, I'm hoping that I can lift myself a little up. So with all your blessings, I would like to discuss whatever little I know and I've heard from our seniors and acharyas. So we are discussing Sanatan Shiksha. This is...
Is it okay to be a little louder?
Yeah, it's not audible.
No, it's okay, but it could be better if it was loud, so that's why.
Yeah, I will speak louder. Yeah, I will do
that. Yeah, this is good. Thank you.
So we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami in the science of the absolute truth. This is a very esoteric subject matter. And I'm not even sure I'm qualified to discuss the subject matter, but I'll try to, you know, say a few words just for my own purification. Please do not hesitate to correct me if I make mistakes, which I'm sure I will because I'm not too familiar with this. And please also feel free to add your realizations and your inputs. I'll be very happy to, hear from all of you. So we are at verse number 255 of this chapter. And before I get into the verses, I'll just send the invocation prayers.
Om Ajnana Timira Andhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Namaha श्रीचैतन्योऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतम् परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदां सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितां च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी नमामि दीपे वाचाकल्पितरूपश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गिरिराजस्वामिनिति नामिने नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, on to verse number 255.
Kriya Shakti Pradhana Sankarsana Balarama Prakrita Prakrita Shrishti Karena Nirmana.
Lord Sankarsana is Lord Balarama. Being the predominator of the creative energy, he creates both the material and the spiritual world. 256.
Ahankarera adhishthata krishnera ichhaya goloka vaikuntha srije chitshakti dvaraya.
The original Sankarsana, Lord Balarama, is the cause of both the material and the spiritual creation. He is the predominating deity of egotism, and by the will of Krishna and the power of the spiritual energy, he creates the spiritual world, which consists of the planet Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planet. 257.
Yadyapi asrijya nitya chichakti vilasa tathapi sankarsana ichhaya tahara prakasha.
Although there is no question of creation as far as the spiritual world is concerned, the spiritual world is nonetheless manifested by the supreme will of Sankarsana. The spiritual world is the abode of the pastimes of the eternal spiritual energy. 258.
Sahasrapatram kamalam gokulakhyam mahatpadam tatkarnikaram taddhama tadanantamshasambhavam.
Gokula, the supreme abode and planet, appears like a lotus flower that has 1,000 petals. The bowl of that lotus is the abode of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The lotus-shaped supreme abode is created by the will of Lord Ananta. This verse is quoted from the Brahma Samhita 5.2.
259. Maya dvare shrijeteno brahmandeva garna jada rupa prakriti nahe brahmanda karana.
By the agency of the material energy, the same Lord Sankarsana creates all the universes. The dull material energy, known in modern language as nature, is not the cause of the material universe.
260. Jada haite srishti nahe ishvara shakti vine tahate sankarsana kare shakti ra adhane.
Without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy, dull matter cannot create the cosmic manifestation. Its power does not arise from the material energy itself, but is endowed by Sankarsana. So I'm going to be discussing from verses 255 to 260 in this class. I'll try to discuss that. Actually, Sanatan Goswami, he quit his job as the Prime Minister of Bengal, and he arrived at Varanasi just to surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to join his movement of chanting, you know, the holy names in this age of Kali. So he actually quit his very, very high position as the Prime Minister and placed himself at a very humble and low position, as though he didn't know anything about the basic questions of existence, like who am I, why am I here, what am I doing here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave him audience after he gave away his last piece of garb, which showed his utter humility. So after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually was so impressed, and he gave him audience, and he also explained the science of God to him. He also gave him these teachings, which we are discussing now. So there is this Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which talks so highly of all these six Goswamis, and some of the verses in this Ashtakam actually, they are so moving when we hear about their about their highly renounced nature. It actually sometimes appears to us as, are they really, doing it in renunciation, or have they gone crazy? It appears like that, but due to our material you know, or maybe personally speaking, my material attachments, it is very difficult to even imagine the kind of renunciation the six Goswamis showed. And at least by reading and, you know, purifying ourselves, we can at least try to reminisce on their pastimes, and, you know, some, at least some bit of it may rub onto us. So that is the idea here. So Sanatana Goswami, he presented himself to the Lord as a man in distress, and he actually confessed to the Lord, and he said, "People believe that I am a great learned man, but I am so foolish that I believe it myself. But what to speak of being learned, I don't even know who I am. Who am I, and why do I suffer in material life?" Actually, the Goswami, he knows all these answers, but he is taking the humble position, like, you know, like how Arjuna took in the battle of Kurukshetra and addressed Krishna as though he was very confused and bewildered. But he was actually a close associate of Krishna. He was Krishna's best friend, so to speak. And how can such a person be bewildered? So they are doing it just for the benefit of common masses who can learn from these conversational teachings. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he replied back in a very pithy sentence. He just said that the constitutional position of a living entity is to be an eternal servant of Krishna. So this was just one sentence, and it is said that by this one sentence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually can summarize the whole teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So this was the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, and then he started off on the science of God directly to Chaitanya, to Sanatan Goswami, because he knew that Sanatan knows all this, you know, this Sankhya Vidya. He knew that he knows the Sankhya Yoga and the other yogas discussed in Bhagavad Gita. So he did not delve too much into all those matters, but he directly went to the to describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's transcendental form. So Krishna's innumerable forms, they are known as the plenary expansions because they have all the full power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Though each of these expansions has activities, bodily features, and other attributes slightly different from the original form of Krishna, they are all identical with Krishna. They are one and the same Supreme Personality. So basically, we are referring to the Vishnu Tattva here. And in Vishnu Tattva, though Krishna may take, you know, different emotions, different moods, and sometimes different appearance too, we will be seeing further down as to what these forms are called. There is a you know, elaborate classification of the forms of Krishna, and so there, every form is categorized within you know, and given a name, specific name. So, but even though we discuss so many forms of Krishna, the basic understanding we need to have is that all these forms are equally potent in one way or the other, and we should not tend to think that, you know, oh, this form of Narayana is less potent than perhaps Rama or like that. So all the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are potent. And in some conversations with Srila Prabhupada, and also some of his lectures and in his books, he sometimes he writes that, you know, worshipping Vishnu is the same as worshipping Krishna. So we should not you know, have too much, be too much hung up on these differences, because they are all different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brahma Samhita, it explains that as one candle lights many other candles, each with the same power of illumination, so Lord Krishna expands himself into unlimited forms of Godhead. So Krishna's primary motivation for his expansion and descent is to please his devotees. So in this chapter, we also will see what is the difference between expansion and descent. It is very clearly defined for our benefit. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has so clearly defined all these terms. You know, descent is actually a very, if I could say a crude translation to avatar, to the word avatar. So basically what it means is when the Lord comes down from the higher spiritual planets into the lower material planets, it's called a descent. So when he crosses that, when his expansion crosses that Viraja river, then it's no longer called an expansion. It is actually called a descent or an avatar. Like, so we have so many different kinds of avatars, like Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Manvantara avatar, like that. So these all apply, these avatars, they apply at the material realm. As soon as they come into the material realm, so to speak, though the Lord himself is always spiritual, but the word, the term used for him when he descends to show his mercy on his devotees is called avatars. Devotees long to see and serve Krishna in particular ways according to their individual preferences and moods, and the Lord obliges. So this is the motivation for Krishna to take so many forms, to expand himself in so many ways and to descend himself into the material world. It is just to please his devotees. Krishna sends his expansions to the material creation and he comes himself as well, bringing Krishna Loka and its residents with him. Like Srila Prabhupada often quotes, when a prime minister or a president of a state arrives, he generally arrives with an entourage and, you know, he has his staff, a few of his key staff with him, security and, you know, other people who always arrive with him. So similarly, when Krishna descends, he also brings his associates with him. And one such associate we are actually discussing about today is Srila Sanatana Goswami. So he is not an ordinary soul. He is an eternal associate of Krishna, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually. So Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana that describing Krishna's form is like describing the moon by saying it is in the branches of a tree. Basically, what I'm doing here is trying to, I try to grab the main highlights of this chapter. And these are some of the key points that, you know, are generally emphasized by means of analogy, because it's easier for us to understand how multifarious Krishna's forms are. And it's not... even if we go on discussing for days and nights and years together, we are never not even able to get to 1% of his opulences. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compares it to describing the moon by saying it's in the branches of the tree. So what this analogy means is the moon is so far away from us, but if somebody asks us to point, at the moon, we have to take the help of a reference object that is closer to us. Like supposing the moon is hiding behind the trees. We say, hey, look at this tree, and behind this tree, this branch, you can see the moon there. So that is what he's trying to mean when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that at most, you know, we can take the help of some object closer to us and say this is the moon. But actually the moon is so far away and it's not possible for us to actually describe the features of the moon. Krishna's transcendental form is not compartmentalized like our material bodies. So when we are hands, they can perform the activities of our hands. And similarly, a mouth we use for speaking, and so several other organs, we are having specific purposes for each of our organs. And but Krishna's transcendental form is not like that. Our mental and physical activities are different. We can think of being a hero or an actress, but our dreams may not come true. For Krishna, however, thinking and doing are the same. When the Lord thinks of himself as a cowherd boy or as a warrior prince, these thoughts of Krishna's are pastimes performed by his plenary expansion. So if we actually look at the verse number... One second, let me try and get a reference for it. Verse number 254, one verse prior to the verse we are actually started discussing, we see that the translation reads as, there is no possibility of creation without thinking, feeling, willing, knowledge and activity.
The combination of the supreme will, knowledge and action brings about the cosmic manifestation. So in this, the word Ichha, Jnana, Kriya, these are the three potencies of Krishna, and it is translated into six words. If you can, you know, if you have the Chaitanya Charitamrita handy, and if you can verse to refer to verse 254, we see that the words Ichha, Jnana, Kriya is translated into five words actually: thinking, feeling, willing, knowledge, and activity. So we understand from here, Jnana is knowledge and Kriya is activity. For Ichha, three words have been used by Srila Prabhupada in the translation: thinking, feeling, and willing. So why he has used three words for Ichha is, Krishna, even if Krishna thinks, that is actually executed by his potencies. Even if he feels, like if he feels like a warrior, immediately his body will manifest that kind of symptom. And if he desires, like he wills or he desires something, immediately that takes place. So Krishna doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to express his desire or even, you know, think deeply about it, how to execute it or to plan for it. Nothing like that. Just by thinking or feeling or willing. So Ichha Shakti, Srila Prabhupada translates it here as thinking, feeling and willing. But any of these actions, they are automatically executed. In Parashya Sakti, Vividhaiva Shruyate, Swabhaviki, Jnana Bala Kriyate. Swabhaviki means so naturally. It's not like some effort is being made, you know, by Krishna to execute his desires or thoughts or actions or feeling. Nothing like that. Not like us, you know, we have to think so much even before we, you know, start off our day, perhaps to even get ourselves to our work or you know, get ourselves to cooking our bhoga. So even for that, we need to plan so much and do so many things. But for Krishna, you know, it is swabhaviki. It is so natural and it is so seamless. The way he creates this universe, the way he conducts the universe, and how the things move around, and everything about Krishna's activities is so seamless and it appears so natural, like, it appears so effortless. That is Krishna's potency, so to speak. So, where was I? Yeah. So what I was discussing, that the thoughts of Krishna themselves are pastimes. They are referred to as pastimes by the acharyas. So he doesn't have to do anything special. You know, as soon as he thinks, I want to be like a warrior, immediately he gets transformed. His transcendental body can afford, you know, becomes like that of a warrior. So, does one transcendental expansion embodies Lord Krishna's anger? Can anybody guess what is this expansion that embodies Lord Krishna's anger?
The Narasimhadev.
Yes, Narasimhadev. So nice. Thank you, Mataji. And another, his abilities as the perfect king. This is also an example. Anybody who wants to, you know, share?
Ram.
Yeah, Ram, and also Prithu Maharaj. He is the king of kings, you know, Prithu. Another of his literary abilities.
Vedavyas.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mataji. And still another, his omnipotent capacity for material creation.
Mahavishnu.
Thank you so much, Mataji. So, yeah, so we see that so many of his expansions, as soon as he thinks of something, he can just become, he is like the taste of water. We have read about so many of his opulences in the Bhagavad Gita. So everywhere we see Krishna's opulence, and it is just by thinking, and he doesn't have to do anything beyond that, you know, to manifest his opulences. Sorry. While Krishna's plenary expansions possess his full power and opulence, Krishna's own attributes are nevertheless more pleasant. So much so that an ultimate expression of the individuality, the plenary expansions are attracted to and worship Krishna. So Krishna's opulence, you know, the Swayam Krishna Bhagavan we are referring to here, his opulences are so sweet and so, you know, pleasure-giving that even his own plenary expansions, like there is this example of Vasudeva, he was attracted to Krishna, and he's like, why is this Govinda so beautiful? I want to, you know, experience the joy that Govinda actually is experiencing. Like that, even his own plenary expansions, they worship him. The example is also given as, when Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, two of his plenary expansions appeared with him as Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu, he is Balarama's expansion. We all know that. And though they are the expansions of Lord Chaitanya, but you know, they lived with him and served him as devotees. You know, they offered loving service to the Lord himself. So even though they are plenary expansions and they are in one sense as potent as the Lord, you know, with just very few minute differences, but still they are enamored by Swayam Krishna himself, that they want to offer their services to the Supreme Lord. In his two-handed form as the cowherd son of Nanda Maharaja, Krishna fully exhibits his opulence, beauty, wealth, attractiveness and pastimes. Indeed, in some Vaishnava literature, it is found that sometimes in his form as Vasudeva, he becomes attracted to his form of Govinda in Vrindavan. Thus, as Vasudeva, he sometimes desires to enjoy as Govinda does, although the Govinda form and the Vasudeva form are ultimately one and the same. So, this is how even the plenary expansions of Krishna, actually, they worship Krishna. All the expansions of Lord Krishna have their residences eternally in the spiritual sky, but when they descend into the material world, like earlier mentioned, they are called avatars or incarnations. So Prabhupada, he gives the analogy of of a high court judge. At work, a high court judge wears the garb and receives the respect appropriate to his or her office. While at home, the same judge's rank and prestige take a back seat or are completely forgotten in the atmospheres of camaraderie, affection and romance created by the presence of his friends, lovers and children. So Krishna Loka is Krishna's home, while Narayana Loka is his kingdom, where in his official capacity as the Supreme Lord, he prominently displays his opulences and powers. So it is just for the purpose of his pastimes, like when he wills or thinks, he manifests in different forms. And like Prabhupada gives the example, Narayana Loka is his kingdom and Krishna Loka is his home. So, you know, he carries out different functions and he's in different modes there. So without getting into too much of the technical nitty-gritty, the terminology which has been used, but I would just like to briefly recap, his expansions. We can understand that Krishna first of all manifests himself as Swayam Rupa, his personal form, then as Tad Ekatma Rupa, and then as Avesha Rupa. The form by which Krishna is directly understood is called Swayam Rupa, or his personal form. The personal form of Krishna can be divided into two, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakasha. As far as his Swayam Rupa form is concerned, it is in this form that he remains always in Vrindavan, with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This personal form, Swayam Rupa, can be further divided into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. So here we see that the Prakasha form is actually the manifestation of Krishna's, the Swayam Prakasha is his own natural, the two-handed form of Krishna. And it's further stated that it can be divided into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. So this is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He is sharing his realizations to us. Elsewhere in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami gives a little different analysis of these forms. He says that the Swayam Prakasha form is separate, standalone, and it doesn't have Prabhava or Vaibhava. Because once you give a Prabhava or Vaibhava interpretation, then it no longer remains the fully potent Krishna. So it's not classified as the two forms, like it's mentioned here. So these are minute differences we find in the realizations of Acharya. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his treatise, also gives a little different insight into these forms of Krishna. So all we have to understand is that basically is that though these forms may differ a little in their mood and appearance, they are all basically one and the same. For Krishna, for example, Krishna expanded himself in multiple forms during the Rasa dance in order to dance with each and every gopi who took part in the dance. Similarly, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms in Dwarka when he married 16,108 wives. So there are some instances, so this form where he expands, you know, with the gopis is also called as the Prabhava form. But I've also heard from, you know, senior devotees that the 16,108 forms in Dwarka, that is actually the expansion of the Dwarka Desh or the 400 form of Krishna, that is the Prabhava Prakasha. That's what I have understood. But the when during the Rasa dance, they are referring to it as a Vaibhava. So there are some minute differences in the interpretation of these forms. So let's just take what Srila Prabhupada gives us for now. There are some instances of great mystics expanding on their bodily forms by the yoga process, but Krishna does not expand himself in that way. So these yogis who perform a lot of penances and, you know, practice different yogic postures and different kind of yoga like anima, lagi, and so many different siddhis, so they can also expand themselves. We also, the example is quoted of Saubhari Muni. He actually meditated in water. I mean, it is impossible for us to even fathom how he did that for so many years. But when Krishna manifests, so he actually divides himself, expands himself into eight forms by the yoga process. So, but this expansion of Saubhari Muni is very different from what Krishna, how Krishna expands himself, you know, with his 16,000 wives or when he was dancing with the gopis. So it's very different. We cannot compare them, because these expansions of Saubhari Rishi are simply referred to as reflections, you know, like holding a mirror or photographs like that. But when Krishna, he expands himself, he can do totally different activities, think totally differently, you know, even to the point like when I explain the other pastime of Narada Muni, you will understand what I mean by this. When Narada Muni visited Krishna at his different palaces in Dwarka, he was astonished at this. And yet Narada is never astonished to see the expansions of a yogi's body, since he knows the trick himself. So Narada Muni, he's a Muni himself. So he knows how the yogis expand. So he was never, I know, kind of bewildered by seeing Saubhari's yoga and all that. So he's not, but when he sees Krishna's, he's like, yeah, so astonished, like how is he doing it, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We also seen another example, you know, when Kardama Muni, he expands himself into nine to give pleasure to his wife Devahuti. And we have seen that in the third canto, if I'm not wrong. So in that purport also, Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, Jiva Tattva, they can perhaps expand themselves to eight or nine forms at the maximum, but that nowhere comes closer to what, you know, Krishna's expansions and his incarnations. I mean, we cannot compare at all these expansions to Krishna. So maximum jivas can do eight to nine. That's it. That's what Prabhupada quotes in the purport for the in that chapter. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes Narada Muni's astonishment at seeing Krishna's expansions in Dwarka. Narada wondered how the Lord was present with his queens in each and every one of his 16,108 palaces. With each queen, Krishna himself was in a different form, acting in different ways. In one form, he was talking with his wife. In another form, he was petting his children. And in another form, he was performing some household duty. So these different activities are conducted by the Lord when he is in his emotional forms, which are called Vaibhava Prakasha. So when the Lord takes on different emotions, that manifestation is called Vaibhava Prakasha.
Similarly, there are other unlimited expansions of Krishna's forms. But even when they're divided or expanded without limit, they are still one and the same. So when Narada saw this, sometimes when he visited Krishna in one palace and he went to the other the palace of the other queen, you know, to visit Krishna, he also experiences that the Krishna there did not even know that Narada had visited Krishna in the other palace. So that much different Krishna can manifest himself. So this one Krishna was not even aware, I mean, so to speak, in apparent sense, he was not aware that Narada Muni had visited him in the other palace. So that's how Krishna can expand himself. Totally different thinking, totally different activities. So it's not like a, you know, it's not like a mirror image, or it's not like a reflection. It's not like that. He can totally do different things at different times. He's so omnipotent. So his emotional forms are called Vaibhava Prakasha. So there is no difference between one form of the or one form or the other. That is the absolute nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Tad Ekatma Rupa is the form which most resembles the Swayam Rupa, but there are some differences in the bodily features. So we saw first is the Swayam Rupa, and here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he classifies them into two. One is Prabhava and Vaibhava. And then there is the Tad Ekatma Rupa. And the Tad Ekatma Rupa is also divided into two manifestations, the personal expansion, Swamsha, and pastime expansion, Vilasa. As far as the Avesha Rupa is concerned, when Krishna empowers some suitable living entity to represent him, that living entity is called Avesha Rupa, or Satyavesha Avatara. So these are the three broad classifications.
Mataji, sorry to stop you because I don't want to lose the thread. Can you again say about Tad Ekatma Rupa once more?
Yeah, sure. The Tad Ekatma Rupa is that form which most resembles the Swayam Rupa, but there are some differences in bodily features. Is that clear?
No, can you give us examples, Mataji? I'm lost.
Let me grab. I don't want to just say something. This is discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't go into too much detail of studying it. So, one second, while I look it up. There are also charts.
I'm also looking at the chart when I'm talking to you, because even the chart also I'm not able to make out. So according to the chart, it shows Balram is expanding as Tat Ekatma Rupa, and in brackets it's written when his form and transcendental emotion are differently manifested. But from the Tat Ekatma Rupa, it also says Vilas, the pastime expansion, and then it branches out Sabhav and then the four Chaturvyuha. So I don't understand, what's the difference then between Vilas and Prabhava Vilas?
Where is your source, Preeti?
You know, I'm looking at the chart, Mataji, the Goloka chart. It has the Swayam Rupa classifications based on 20th chapter. It's okay, Mataji. You tell me what the verses are. Maybe we can comprehend later. I don't want to stop.
The verses before these verses, Preeti, they discuss this Tadekatma Rupa.
Okay, Mataji.
For some reason, my computer is not, the internet is not working suddenly. I'm sorry.
I think the rest of them are also listening. So you just continue with the class and then I'll...
I also have studied those verses, and I also had the same question as Preeti. It was not clear to me what the distinction was.
Anyway, probably we'll just discuss this, like we'll keep this for the end, and you finish off the presentation, Mataji.
Yeah, sure. The Tad Ekatma Rupa is divided into two manifestations, the personal expansion, Swamsa, and the pastime expansion, Vilasa. I discussed the other part. In his Vaibhava Prakasha feature, the Lord manifests himself as Balarama. The Balarama feature is as good as Krishna himself. Only that, as we all know, his Krishna's bodily hue is blackish and Balarama's is whitish. The Vaibhava Prakasha form was also displayed when Krishna appeared before his mother Devaki in the four-handed form of Narayana, just when he entered the world. So here again, there are two different classifications given. One is the two-handed form is called Vaibhava Prakasha, and the four-handed form is called Prabhava Prakasha. And in his personal form, Krishna is just like a cowherd boy, and he thinks of himself in that way. So this same kind of expansion was also adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he expanded himself into seven forms to dance in each and every group of the Sankirtan party during the Rath Yatra. So at this time we saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was dancing in different groups simultaneously at the same time. These expansions were appreciated by pure devotees, including King Prataparudra. Although for reasons of external formality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see King Prataparudra because he was a king. King Prataparudra became one of the Lord's most confidential devotees. And that's the reason he was able to witness, from his position, he was able to see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had expanded himself into seven Chaitanya Mahaprabhus, and he was singing and dancing in each Sankirtana party. Because he is such a pure devotee of the Lord, he was able to witness. Not mundane people with mundane eyes cannot do this. He had the special mercy of the Lord, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu earlier refused to see King Prataparudra. The kings could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneously present in all seven groups. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot see the expansion of the transcendental forms of the Lord unless one is a pure devotee of the Lord. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39, verses 53 to 55, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, he explains the Lord's potencies. They're mentioned in the verses of Sri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, and Tushti. I don't want to go too much into what these potencies mean, but we can always refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shakti is his internal potency, Haladini, and Maya is an internal potency, who is the basis of Vidya and Avidya. So, this is a reference from Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Because Krishna has so many different potencies, this is one another way of classification. We see Krishna has one personal energy called Swarupa Shakti or Parashakti. This Parashakti has three Vibhavas, three Prabhavas and three Anubhavas by Krishna's will. The three Vibhavas are the Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. So this is referring to Krishna's transformational potency, which we have also earlier seen in this chapter, maybe around verse 220 or something like that. So these have all been discussed. I'm just trying to summarize. The three Vibhavas are Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. This translates to the spiritual potency, the marginal potency, and the material potency. The three Prabhavas are the Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. So this is like we are just reading about it now. This is the willing potency, the knowledge potency and the action activity potency. The three Anubhavas are Sandhini, Haladini and Samvit. So this we already know, the existential potency, the pleasure potency and the knowledge potency. By the influence of Ichha Shakti, the supreme will, the Chit Shakti manifests Goloka, Vaikuntha and other places of the Lord's pastimes, Krishna's names, the Lord's various two-handed or four-handed or six-handed forms. So this is an interpretation from the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. The pastimes with his associates in Goloka, Vrindavan and Vaikuntha and spiritual qualities such as mercy, forgiveness and generosity. By the influence of Jnana Shakti, the Chit Shakti produces various perceptions, Aishwarya, Madhurya, and beauty of the spiritual world. Krishna alone possesses the Ichha Shakti. We already have seen in the earlier verses that Krishna is the only person who possesses the Ichha Shakti, and he is the controller of this Ichha Shakti. And the controller of the Jnana Shakti is Vasudeva. This also we have learned in the previous verses. And the controller of the Kriya Shakti is Baladeva or Sankarsana. By the influence of the Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti upon the Jiva Shakti, the forms of eternal associates appear. By the influence of Krishna's Kriya Shakti, the law's activities become manifest. Within the Chit Shakti, the Sandhini, Samvit and Haladini Shaktis combine to produce the distinctive ecstasies of Prema. I'm sure many people must have understood this much better than I do, and we can discuss if if we have anything to share on these points, because it is, I just got these notes off of Chaitanya Shikshamrita, but I'm sure somebody can explain much better. So, Prabhava Avataras and Vaibhava Avataras. The personal forms of Lord Hari are less than his Paravastha form and are called by different names according to the different degrees of their powers. Within the eyes of scriptures, the Prabhava Avataras are seen to be of two kinds. The first kind is briefly manifest and not very famous. Among them, this reference is from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Among them are Mohini, Hamsa and the Yuga Avataras, beginning with Shukla. The second kind are authors of scriptures. Generally, they are great sages. Among them are Dhanvantri, Rishabha, Vyasa, Dattatreya and Kapila. The Vaibhava Avataras are Kurma, Matsya, Naras, friend Narayana Rishi, Varaha, Hayagriva. In this way, 21 Vaibhava Avataras are listed. There are 9 Vyuha forms: Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayana, Narasimha, Hayagriva, Varaha, and Brahma. So, different descriptions are given in different literature. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita explains Prakasha as when the Lord expands, and those expansions appear in different localities and are exactly identical in all respects, form, mood, potency with the original. The terminology seems slightly different given here by Rupa Goswami than by Krishnadas Kharaj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is no Prabhava Prakasha in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which seems, this input I got from Amataji, she thinks this is more correct, because Prabhava means lesser potency than Prakash forms. And they do not, the four-handed forms, the Dwarkadisha forms expanded into 16,400 identical forms in Dwarka, and also the Vraja Krishna form also expanded into two-handed forms to dance with the gopis. So she thinks it's, if we classify them as a Prabhava or a Vibhava form, then the potency may not be the same for these forms. So according to the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there is no such classification of the Swayamrupa of Krishna. So, continuing further, Lord Sankarsana is Lord Balarama. Being the predominator of the creative energy, he creates both the material and the spiritual world. The original Sankarsana is the cause of both the material and spiritual creation. He is the predominating deity of egotism, and by the will of Krishna and the power of the spiritual energy, he creates the supreme, the spiritual world, which consists of the planet Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planet. So we see in verse number 258, it's actually taken from the Brahma Samhita. Gokula, the supreme abode and planet, appears like a lotus flower that has 1,000 petals. The whole of that lotus is the abode of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This lotus-shaped supreme abode is created by the will of Lord Ananta. So when we look at the purport for this verse from the Brahma Samhita, and also thanks to some notes which Priti Mataji shared with me very graciously, because she did a very nice seminar on Brahma Samhita, and so I just copied off her notes, as I do generally. So from these notes, what I gathered is, actually, we must understand that Gokula is actually not the material world, in spite of the fact that it manifests itself on the planet Earth. Gokul is like Goloko, and it is not material. So the basic terms we need to understand is Gokul is spoken of or understood to be at the material realm, and Goloko is in the spiritual planet. So it is manifested and maintained by the Lord's infinitary aspect as Balaram. The entire spiritual world is the manifestation of Baladev, manifesting unlimited potency. He presides over the Sandhini potency. He, by his potency, maintains Goloka, all the Vaikunthas, and even the material world is maintained by his further expansion. Baladeva is the first expansion of Krishna. Just like Krishna, who we saw in the first verse of the Brahma Samhita, is the original candle, and his expansion as first Baladeva, difference is only in color, which we also again discussed, but Baladeva is his first expansion, and he actually is, he actually helps Krishna in creating the material and the spiritual universes. Sorry about that. However, Balaram is strong, but Krishna is stronger. Balaram rests on Krishna's shoulder. Balaram is equally potent as Krishna for material, but he is responsible for material creation and spiritual manifestation. The spiritual world of or Krishna Loka is the highest of all planets. There are so many material universes, it is highly impossible for us to calculate the number of universes, and it is compared to holding mustard seeds in a bag beyond the spiritual, how can we actually count the number of mustard seeds in a bag? So it's compared to that. I'm just trying to read off the notes of Preeti. Okay. So what we want to understand from this purport is Gokul is Gokul is an extension of the spiritual world, but it is actually a part of the spiritual world, even though it actually is manifest on the material realm. And pure devotees, when they are at that stage of pure bhakti, they can recognize that this Gokula is non-different from the Goloka. Prabhupada also compares it. He gives the analogy of the embassy. Like, for example, if if Goloka is the actual planet or is the actual country, and then Gokula is considered as the embassy, the representative of that country in the material realm. So he gives us this analogy to understand what is the difference between Goloka and Gokula. So Goloka is in the spiritual realm, and Gokula is apparently in the material realm, but the acharyas here, they say that both are equally spiritual. We cannot differentiate because of the expansive potency of Lord Balarama. Though they Gokula appears on the material realm, it is still totally spiritual. Like we have also learnt in the Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna apparently descends into the material world as in his two-handed form, foolish people tend to think that he has actually taken a human form. Avajananti mamuta manushim tanumashri. They think of him as an ordinary human being. But even though he descends into this material world, he is totally spiritual. So there is absolutely no difference, between he doesn't take on any material form or anything like that. So his form as Krishna in the spiritual world is same, he has the same potency when he descends into the material world too. But only when we do not have enough bhakti or enough purity, we tend to make these differences. But according to what our acharyas say, we need to accept that in these two forms are these forms are equally spiritual, and they do not belong to this material plane. So this is where I would like to stop discussing, and please do share your comments and realizations, and please do correct me if I made any mistakes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have been waiting for this class. Thank you so much. I have so badly wanted someone to do the aspects of the 20th chapter in detail with respect to what is being discussed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, I guess the technical part. So first and foremost thing, my humble obeisances to you. I really thank you so much because this is not easy. It must have taken you at least 2-3 days to compile this. So I'm so indebted to you for taking this on and doing it. I think this was a very tough chapter, especially the technical part of it was very difficult to understand, and I think your compilation was simply superb. Thank you so much, Mataji. I'm so happy you did this today. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And besides that, if you want to do another class also, please let us know in similar lines if you feel you want to cover anything else from this chapter also, we'll probably schedule you again. From the beginning of the class, I was thinking the way you explained the difference between expansion and descent, that was very nice, very, very chief points. Even about the analogy of the branches of the tree and the moon, and then thinking and acting is the same for the Lord, how you explain these points was really, really beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. So, I still didn't understand that Ekatma Rupa properly, and if we are able to discuss it, that will be good. And also another question is when you were talking about the three Shaktis, right? You were talking about the Chit Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and the Jnana Shakti. I think. I don't remember which classification I'm trying to refer to. Maybe it was the the different potencies of the Lord. One of the set was Sladini, Sandini, and Sanvit. That was the third set. First and second set, I didn't follow. Can you please just get back to your notes and recap?
Actually, that part I got from Chaitanya Shikshamrita. It's also there on Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's website. I just flipped everything off here and there off your notes, partially everything, so thanks to all of you actually for allowing me to compile this. So I'll again also repeat it.
Before I forget, once the class is over, please share your notes, Mataji, because this is going to be like a lifetime keeper, so please.
Krishna has one personal energy called Swarupa Shakti or Parashakti. The Parashakti has three Vibhavas, three Prabhavas, and three Anubhavas. The three Vibhavas are the Chit Shakti, that is the spiritual potency, Jiva Shakti, that is the marginal potency, and Maya Shakti, that is the material potency. So these are the three.
What is the meaning of Vibhava, Prabhava, and Anubhava?
They are, like I said, I also asked one senior Prabhupada disciple about what these definitions are. She said that the Swarupa Shakti or the Parashakti, the Swarupa Swayam Krishna forms, are the maximum potencies. And the Prabhava is actually a lesser potency than even Vibhava. Vibhava is a little higher potency. That's what she explained to me. But I don't have too much details on these terms again. Maybe if somebody else has read more, can share. The three Prabhavas, so these are basically the forms which have lesser potency than Swayam Krishna. Because Krishna by himself does not perform anything. All he does is enjoy. So, when he has to do some execution or something, so these forms manifest to actually help Krishna enjoy. So by this, he expands his energy. Like I said, the transformational energy into different expansions, the jiva tattvas and the material. So all this is, a transformation of Krishna's energy. And similarly, the Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Jnana Shakti, these are also, this is called Prabhavas. Three Prabhavas, that's what it is mentioned. Then the three Anubhavas are Sandhini, Haladini, and Samvit.
Okay, so Vaibhava is Jiva Shakti, marginal potency and the internal potency, correct? Marginal, external and internal potency is Vaibhava. Prabhava is Ichha, Kriya, Jnana. And
Anubhava is Sandhini, Haladini, and Samvit. Yeah, and this is according to Chaitanya Shikshamrita. This has been classified according to the realizations of Bhakti Vinoda Thakura. We understand this, but different literatures, give different explanations to these potencies of Krishna. I mean, obviously, his potencies are infinite, so there can be different nuances.
Also, it's the same, right? Like what this chapter 20 also, it's the same, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this classification is mentioned directly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think this I've read in this chapter 20, perhaps somewhere else in some purport Srila Prabhupada may have discussed. But I didn't have a direct reference to this. I was trying to research the word, the terminology, and I found this. I thought, let me share.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mataji, sounds good. And can you again do the third Ekatma Rupa, please?
Yeah, what was your question earlier you had asked regarding Tadekatma Rupa?
What I have understood is that from Balram comes Tadekatma Rupa, is it? Because his form and transcendental emotion are differently manifested in the Tadekatma Rupa. Is that correct, first of all?
Yes, that's what is my understanding too.
Okay. And then from Balaram, Balaram itself is the Tadekatma Rupa. Is that correct? Or no?
Actually, Balaram is explained as Vibhava Prakasha here, right?
Correct. He added
Prakasha form. But like, like I said, in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita, that is not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And because Prakasha can be only one Swayam Prakasha of Krishna. So, the Mataji explained to me that when you are talking of this Swayam Prakasha, Swayam manifestation of Krishna, how can there be Bhava and Vibhava? That means his potency is not Swayam anymore when you use this term.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see that.
Yeah, so there is a little difference, and there are perhaps more minute technicalities. I may not know, Preeti, so this is
okay, my no problem. So let's take on from Balarama. So Balarama expands as the Tad Ekatma Rupa in which there is Vilas and Prabhav, right?
Yes, that's what it says.
So what is the Vilas? Is there any example for Vilas?
Now, one second, I'm trying to see. It's actually discussed in the earlier verses, Preeti, about, 184. I didn't really bother to research that too much, because we are far too, it's like around 180, it's discussed, and we are now actually discussing 255, so I didn't really to give too much focus on that, Preeti, so perhaps,
Okay, Mataji, this is what I understand. Just tell me if it's okay. So, I understand that Swayam Prakash, now let's go as per the 20th chapter. I understand there are other explanations too. But as per the 20th chapter, Swayam Rupa is the original form of Krishna. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, from Swayam Rupa, there is Swayam Prakasha. That means his own expansions. Swayam Prakasha has Prabhava Prakasha, which is Krishna expanding himself with all the gopis. And Vaibhava Prakasha, where he manifests very differently, and like how he manifests in Mathura Dwaraka, 400 form of Krishna. He is differently manifesting.
Prabhava is 400, Vaibhava is 200, if I'm not wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Prabhava is Yeah, 400 is Prabhava, 200 is Vaibhava Prakasha, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, that's what is given in the definition. Like if you look at between verses 180 through 255, these details are discussed, Preeti.
Okay, I'll look at it. Yeah. So now Tad Ekatma Rupa actually begins with Balaram. And there you have Prabhava Vilas and Vaibhava Vilas.
Yeah, there is also another classification given here. In the Tadekatma Rupa, I'm reading from 184.
What is the meaning of Tadekatma, Mataji, first of all?
Let me see. It just says the name is Tadekatma. So, I am looking at a Prabhupada's translation, he is not given a particular transliteration, literal meaning to it there in the verse 183. So, when that body is a little differently manifested and its features are a little different in transcendental emotion and form, it is called Tad Ekatma.
Okay, Mataji.
That's what is the definition given in 183. So, a little body changes and also a little different in transcendental emotion and form is Tadekatma. And I'll read further from there. In the Tadekatma Rupa, there are pastime expansions, Vilasa, and personal expansions, Swamsa. So, the earlier, the content I read from was from TLC. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, where Prabhupada had summarized this chapter, because I had taken that content from, perhaps there are a minute differences between that and the details which Prabhupada discusses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let's read this. In the Tadekatma Rupa, there are pastime expansions, Vilasa, and personal expansions, Swamsa. Consequently, there are two divisions. According to pastime and personal expansion, there are various differences. The Lord's Vilasa expansions are described in the following verse from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. When the Lord displays numerous forms with different features by His inconceivable potency, such forms are called Vilasa Vigrahas. The Lord's Swamsa expansions are described in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. When a form of Krishna is non-different from the original form, but is less important and exhibits less potency, it is called Swamsa. You know, like we have the Amsha Kala, like that. So this Amsha is basically, if I'm getting the right understanding, these are these Vaikuntha forms. Examples of Swamsha expansions can be found in the quadruple forms of the Lord residing in their respective places, beginning with Sankarsana, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and also in the Purusha Avataras, Leela Avataras, Manmantra Avataras, and Yuga Avataras. So these are Amsha forms, you know, like a plenary expansion. And then you have the Kala, you know, like further expansions you have. This, let's see what the next verse says. Again, the Vilasa forms are divided into twofold categories, Prabhava and Vaibhava. Again, the pastime of these forms are unlimited and variety. So we saw earlier, the Tadekatma is into pastime forms, Vilasa, and personal expansion, Swamsa. We already kind of cleared that Swamsa is the quadruple forms, and these examples Prabhupada has given, Sankarsana, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Purushavatara, all these are Swamsa. So now he is discussing the Vilasa forms, the pastime forms. The Vilasa forms are divided into two-fold categories. So these all again fall into Tadekatma category. Again, the Vilasa forms are divided into two-fold categories, Prabhava and Vaibhava. Again, the pastimes of these forms are of unlimited variety. The chief quadruple expansions are named Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These are called Prabhava Vilasa. So my understanding here is this is the first Chaturvyuha expansion. That is my understanding from this translation.
Yes.
And then Balarama, who has the same original form as Krishna, is himself a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and he also
considers himself a member of the Kshatriya race. Thus, his color and dress are different, and he is called a pastime form of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, in another purport also, I had read one thing that, you know, it is not possible for us to classify one personality as only this manifestation. Like, for example, in the Bhagavatam, I think when I was reading a purport, Prabhupada says that though Balarama is Vaibhav Prakasha, he also manifests himself in these Chaturvyuha forms. So, you know, potency. So sometimes he may be termed as this according as the, the situation, time, place, and circumstance. He may be classified as some other manifestation of Krishna according to the function he's performing. So that's what I understood from one of the purports. Sri Balarama is a Vaibhava Prakasha manifestation. So now it's Prakasha. When we say Prakasha, it is a Swayam Prakasha. It's like, you know, it started from there. He is also manifested in the original quadruple expansions. So you see, he is also manifested in the expansions of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anuradha. And sorry, Aniruddha. These are Prabhava Vilasa expansions. So in that, if we look at that aspect, like which Prabhupada explains in the translation, you see that he is called as a pastime form, as a Prabhava Vilasa. Balarama is classified as Prabhava Vilasa. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm reading from verse number 188. So 183 to 188 is what I read just now.
Oh, okay.
So thank I'm so sorry. I assumed, you know, this is too much further ahead and I didn't want to go into the details. The first expansion of the Chaturvyuha quadruple forms is unique. There is nothing to compare with them. These quadruple forms are the source of unlimited quadruple forms. This is verse number 189. These four Prabhava pastime forms of, so this is Prabhava Vilasa. You were asking the examples, right, for Prabhava Vilasa. So these are the first Chaturvyuha expansion. These four Prabhava pastimes, forms of Lord Krishna, reside eternally in Dvaraka and Mathura. From the original quadruple expansions, 24 forms are manifested. They differ. And these are called Vaibhava Vilasa.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Whatever you had summarized is actually there in this flowchart by the Salem ISKCON by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj disciples. Sure, on the group for everyone's benefit to understand what we have to
do. Yeah, everything is. I just read the previous verses, Preeti. Like I said, from verse number 183 in the same chapter through 100 and up to 255, you'll find all the information basically.
Tell me verses, Mataji, 188 to 255.
Yeah. 183 to 255. We'll discuss these. And also, you know, the other one which I had mentioned, the potency of jiva and spiritual potency, marginal and maya, that is also in one of the earlier verses. It's all there in this chapter. I just took the key points. I did not go into detail because it will go on forever. It's a huge, long chapter. But it's all discussed in this chapter. Every detail is given. Okay. And we can always cross-reference with Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for example, you know, the one I told you about, the Chit, Jiva, and Maya, that is verse number 20.111.
Okay.
Yeah, that is verse number. So, like that, you know, all these points I mentioned are taken from here and there in this chapter.
Thank you, Mataji. I'm holding up everyone. So if anyone else has any questions, comments for Mataji,
Preeti, I'm so sorry. I may have to log off now. Can you please take the questions on behalf of me, please?
Okay, Mataji. If anyone has any comments for Mataji, please. And then we'll wind up. Okay, Mataji, you can log off. And
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your kind association and time. And again, please forgive any mistakes I made. I'm very new to this topic. And thanks again. I appreciate all your kind blessings on me. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Sagari Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
So we can end the call if unless anyone has anything else to add or comment. So again, thank you all so much for joining. We'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता की जय हर ग्रह से कुसागरी माता जी की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय हरे कृष्णा थैंक यू हरे कृष्णा